Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. My grandchildren, Jared and Hi. Hannah, are with me. And this, I told you when we started the manhood chapter, that part of it comes up to me over and over in my walk with the Lord. And here is one part of it that does. He's giving attributes of manhood, Kenneth E. Hagin, in his book, Growing Up Spiritually, that we're making available to you through the radio at $8. It's normally $12. You can send for Growing Up Spiritually by Kenneth E. Hagin. We'll send it to you for $8 plus shipping. Now, here is the attribute that comes up to me over and over. Deadness to censure or praise. I'm going to read that again. Deadness to censure or praise. An attribute of spiritual maturity. Manhood. 1 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4 says, "But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself. Yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord." Hannah, read.
Paul had grown in grace to such an extent that he sought only to commend himself to God. He was not influenced or infected by what others thought of him. He did not get in bondage to anybody. He was not a carnal independence, but a saintly dignity.
All right, I want to read that back again, Hannah. He was not influenced or affected but by what others thought of him. You know, I'm going to let Brother Hagin talk about this, but what do they think of my sermon? You know.
That's a big one.
That's a big one.
I hear a lot of ministers, you know, sometimes, not a lot, but I hear it's common, like, do you think they like that? Or do you think that was okay? When the Holy Spirit gave them something specifically to say.
Yeah, right. Know? Paul was not influenced or affected by what others thought of him. I think about Stephen. They didn't like his sermon. They stoned him to death. But God stood up in heaven. Jesus stood up and welcomed him to the glory world. Go on, Hannah.
The law of love governed him. He was not easily puffed up, nor was he touchy or resentful. His spirit, where the love of God was shed abroad, dominated him. Immature Christians will feel slighted or puffed up if they are criticized or even imagine that they are. They are restless, uneasy, and full of self-pity. On the other hand, if they are noticed and appreciated, they feel lifted up and full of self-importance. Baby Christians are self-conscious and ever conscious of what others are thinking about them. Therefore, they are tossed to and fro childishly, trying to be popular. The mature believer is God-conscious and ever conscious of what God's word says about him and to him, because he is able to testify with Paul, "It is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or man's judgment." He is free to walk in and voice his convictions. He fits the description given in the Amplified translation of 1 Corinthians 13:5. He is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. He is not touchy or fretful or resentful. He takes no account of the evil done to him. Pays no attention to a suffered wrong.
Now remember, Brother Hagin introduced this under the statement, the mark of a spiritual mature person is deadness to censure. That means when people criticize you, doesn't move you. And deadness to praise. Sometimes it's harder to be, sometimes people can get to the place where they're really not moved so much about by people being against them or what they say. But it's kind of hard not to get lifted in pride if they start praising you. And some of the really even ministers of time past who had moved so powerfully in God and others around them began to tell them how great they were and how they were someone really special. And God had to let them be moved off the scene. Even though they moved in the power of God, they left earth and went on to heaven, perhaps early, because it's a dangerous thing to be lifted up in pride. So a spiritual person, mature, has a deadness to censure and a deadness to praise. And if you sense yourself getting lifted up because people are praising you, then you replace that thought.
I recently went into a city, not recently, but a couple months ago, and there, you know, I prayed with some people and stuff, and they really were like, wow, the anointing. And they just kept giving me praise and praise and praise. And usually that doesn't affect me, but I came back to the hotel room and Hannah was there, and it like really weirded me out. It just hit me like I wasn't expecting it. And it was like I was having a fight.
Yeah.
I was like, Hannah, I don't know. And she told me, she's like, there's some good scriptures in Philippians about and in Colossians about humility in Jesus.
Yes.
And I got in those. Yes. And I read them and I'm like, I am not having this. And it finally left.
Sure.
But I had to get in the word on those scriptures.
Who was feeding that thing, you think?
What do you mean?
Yeah, who was
the enemy?
Oh, well, sure.
It wasn't me. It was him trying to make me think.
Why? Because he was trying to get you caught up in what he got caught up in.
Yeah.
You know, he was a wonderful creation.
Right.
I was reading about him one time preaching and about how beautiful he was.
Yeah.
And as it speaks about him in Ezekiel, and I was talking about what he was before. He was an archangel. And the Lord, I heard the Lord say, as much as I've ever heard anything over my right shoulder, my, how I loved him.
Yeah, I remember you saying that.
My, how I loved him.
Mm-hmm.
But spiritual pride was so horrid that it dragged him from the highest position to the depths.
Sad.
And so he wants to get people into that. And,
right.
And one thing he'll try to get people into is spiritual pride.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you have to be dead to praise. And especially flattery.
Yeah.
People will say things to you, and you should be able to take them in a right way when they say thank you.
Right.
Sure. And that's good.
Right.
And I'm glad. And but then you don't let it go past, you know, into
spiritual pride. To your head, so to speak.
Yeah, don't let it go to your head. And then also you don't cry around like a crybaby all day long if they don't like you.
Yeah.
Or don't like your service, your sermon. You pay no attention to a suffered wrong, it is written. Hannah, another wonderful thing that is a characteristic of manhood is, and I've got this one, I can tell you right now. Now, I'm not trying to be lifted up, brag about myself, but I really can do this. And it's God-given, but he names it the ability to recognize God at work. Read about this one, Hannah, page 42 at the bottom.
One of the best spiritual examples of this characteristic is Joseph. You remember how he saw certain things happening in a dream and his brothers became jealous of him? They were going to kill him, but finally just sold him into slavery. He was taken into Egypt, where eventually he stood and refused to bow to the wishes of his master's wife and was thrown into prison. He stayed in prison 7 years. Most people would have become bitter and said, God has forsaken me after these 7 years. He interpreted a dream for a fellow prisoner, Pharaoh's butler, that in 3 days the butler would be lifted up and restored. Joseph asked the butler to make mention of him to Pharaoh when he was delivered. The butler was released, as Joseph said, but he forgot Joseph. It was 2 years more before Joseph got out. In those 2 years, most folks would have grown bitter, saying, "That's the way it is. You try to help folks, and they won't help you." But the time came when Joseph was brought out of prison, and eventually he was made prime minister of Egypt. A famine back in his home country caused his father to send his brothers to Egypt in search of food. They had to be brought before him because he was prime minister. They didn't know him, but he recognized them, the very ones who had sold him into slavery. He didn't tell them who he was, but asked, "Is your father well, the old man of whom you spake?" They answered that he was in good health. Benjamin hadn't come with them, so Joseph said to them, "Hereby ye shall be proved. By the life of Pharaoh ye shall not go forth hence, except your youngest brother come hither." They went back and told their father. The man did solemnly protest unto us, saying, "You shall not see my face, except your brother be with you." Poor old Jacob didn't know that it was God. Joseph was gone. And now they were taking Benjamin. He thought all things were against him, but they weren't. They were all for him. He just didn't know it. When you're hungry, you'll do about anything. So Benjamin went with them. When they got there, Joseph made a feast for them, and he announced, "I am Joseph." Do you know what happened? All those fellows hit the floor. That's what Joseph had seen in his dream, his brothers bowing before him. Here would have been a fine opportunity for most people who weren't spiritually mature and still babies to have really shown off. Here would have been a perfect opportunity for Joseph to have stuck his thumbs in his
galluses.
Hannah, you may not know, but that's, what do you call them? You put them on your pants? Galluses, what they used to call them. Suspenders.
And said, "Well, boys, look me over. Remember those dreams I had? They came to pass." But Joseph had magnanimity of soul.
Largeness of soul.
He said, in effect, "Don't worry about it. God did it." He said, "Be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance." Genesis 45, verse 5 and 7. When you can see God at work in things, you can rejoice whatever is going on.
That happens to me. I'm telling you, you know that I follow Bible prophecy, watching the fig tree and the trees, as Jesus said. And when I look at the Middle East, and some of the people are so dejected and sad, and we don't want bad things to happen, but folks, this is not a surprise to God. He didn't topple off of his throne. And I know that he did say that he was going to set a trap and people were going to stumble over that stone of Jerusalem. I see the hand of God in all these things that are happening. And the future is as bright as God can make it. Yes, there is some judgment. There are some things that are going to have to be judged before then. But I see the hand of God, and I see that Jesus is coming soon. The hand of God in the activities of these days. Shalom.